Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Who are you? This was what the priests and the Levites asked John the Baptist. Who are you? This is the question Holy Scripture asks each of us. Who are you? What was John's answer to that question? He said he was not the Christ, nor was he Elijah. When we look at the gospel reading, if you look at 123, verse 123, we get the answer. What was it that John said? He says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And what was he crying out? Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So, who was John? The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. John, then, is the OG. Among all preachers of the gospel that have proclaimed Jesus Christ into this world as the savior of it, John is the original gangster. Wait, gangsta. Can't use an R there. OG. John the Baptizer is the voice. To understand the spiritual truth being conveyed in this morning's gospel text, John's not a writer. He's a preacher. His words are not written on a piece of paper to be read later, but are cried out to be heard right now. John is the image. He is the type. He is the trailblazer, pioneer of all gospel preachers. The first one. This figure shifts from our attention from Old Testament prophecy to New Testament preacher of the gospel. John didn't preach to the Jews only, but also to the Gentiles. He was making straight the way of the Lord for the whole world. He wasn't at the Jewish temple or teaching in a synagogue somewhere. No, he was preaching to the same, he wasn't preaching to the same audience as the prophets of the Old Testament. Where was he? In the wilderness. See, from the time of Mount Sinai, as we heard in Deuteronomy, the Lord had put his word in the mouths of the prophets, and the priests, the Levites, and they all preached it to the Jews, the house of Israel, the tribes of Israel. God was preaching among their tents, so to speak. That was their vocation. That was the vocation of the Old Testament prophet, priest, and Levite, to speak to God's Old Testament people. To the question, who are you? Those guys would have answered, prophet, priest, sent to Israel. John is in the wilderness. He's a preacher of the gospel. His voice is not for Israel alone, but also for the Gentiles. It's not exclusive for one family, but inclusive for all families. He's for the world, as he's pointing to the one who came to die for the whole world. For everybody, be they Jew or Greek. His voice cried out with clarity. It was loud for all to hear, drawing them to him. Boldly, he preached, and without fear of anyone or anything. He proclaimed the message, the truth of God's word that was put in his mouth. Unafraid of death, which he would die by beheading later. Unafraid of hell, for he was man, God's man, sent to preach God's word, not his own. He wasn't afraid to live for God, and he certainly wasn't afraid of powers in this world. The political hierarchy of the Pharisees who sent their questioners to grill him about who he was. He wasn't afraid of the devil himself. Man didn't make John the Baptist tremble. And the thought of honor, of his own reputation in the community, could care less. Didn't cause him to hold his tongue because he wasn't about pleasing man. And he knew that he preached the most offensive thing in the entire world. Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. the stumbling block to the Jews. Right? This is the hardest thing for us to wrap our minds around. And it hasn't gotten any easier for us modern Americans who are taught that we do everything on our own merit. That if I am to do anything in this life, it's going to be because I pull up my own bootstraps and I get her done. And that is great in our world, and horizontally speaking. But you cannot pull your bootstraps up high enough to get yourself to heaven. That requires help. That requires heaven to come down to us and then to drag us kicking and screaming back up to it. That's what Jesus did. And that is hard for us to wrap our minds around. John wasn't afraid of disgrace or ridicule. He wasn't afraid to speak. Nothing scared him from preparing the way of the Lord, pointing people to Jesus Christ. The voice of John was not, most definitely not, politically correct. He didn't use soft phrases or try to flatter his hearers. He didn't appease hypocrisy. He wasn't going to play the Pharisaical game. His voice was one of truth, come hell or high water. He was the first to hold the office of gospel preacher, pointing people to the Messiah who had come, who was standing among them that they didn't even recognize. There he was, right there among them. The very Lamb of God, whose death took away the sins of the world. And so John's speech was by necessity rough. He was direct. His language was sharp at times, but it was always honest. To proclaim the gospel, he had to also preach the law. He had to talk about sin in order to talk about the medicine for it. The voice that he spoke was the voice that natural man, sinful man, men like us, needed to hear. That we don't always like to hear, but we need to hear. The voice that moves the spiritual to ready themselves, for battle as they continually prepare their bodies and souls for chaste lives of godliness, battling against the old Adam within. Not battling out. We have no one to fight with but ourselves. My old Adam is my enemy, and the devil who tempts him. No one else. Everyone else is the prize. And John knew that. We have no enemies but this guy. That's you. Don't point at me. Like, I guess I could be all your all's enemy, but no, I'm speaking for you. Every Christian preacher since John, when asked, "Who are you?" offer something to the effect of a pale version of John the Baptist, a weak version of what he was, a holder of the Christ-focused, Christ cross-centered office of preacher. Nothing more than a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." That's why pastors wear a uniform, if you were wondering. The black clerical shirt that I put on. Some of you have seen me without my clerical shirt on. Sometimes I bumped into someone over at the Veterans Hall at the craft fair. I've seen this woman for 4 years. She didn't know who I was because I wasn't wearing my clerical collar. I did not, and that day, to be fair, I also didn't have my glasses on. So I was missing two things that define me. And I was talking about my neighbor. I asked her how the neighbor was doing because she had been to the hospital. She's like, "Well, she's fine. Who are you?" "I'm the pastor who lives next door." "Oh!" She felt bad, right? But so I normally wear the uniform. The black clerical shirt and the white collar say, "I'm not my own person." My uniform says, "I operate on behalf of someone else. I am a slave. I am a bondservant." Like John, my clothing, and John wore certain clothing, my clothing communicates something about who I am and whose I am. I am a pastor, sent to serve God and to serve you. I do not get to do things for myself. A preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is who I am. Nothing without him. A voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, pointing people to Jesus always. I am a stewardess. Don't you like my dress? Pointing people to Jesus. That's why when we are gathered together to hear the word of God, when you come out to listen to that voice being declared, I cover up Tyrell as much as I can. First with a clerical shirt, then with an alb, then with a stole, and then finally with the chasuble when we have communion. Because you don't come here to listen to Tyrell, but to hear a voice, a particular voice that cries out, Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. You could care less about who the guy is. It's not about the man, it's about the office. I decrease that John, like John, that Christ would increase. That you would see nothing but the sacrifice of Jesus for you and know his love. Mine is a voice that has been called, like John, to make straight the way of the Lord. A voice that addresses sin with law and then speaks the cross-shaped medicine of truth to that law, the gospel. First using the scalpel to cut and the suture to mend. Baptizing hearers with water, yes, just like John did, but now not just with water, but with the Spirit of the Lord, as Christ has come, so that all of us would know the glory of Jesus who is among us. And you, today, you who come to hear the voice crying out in the wilderness, the voice of Christ Jesus, you know the answer to the question for today too, for you. Who are you? What's your answer? Well, it's the same as mine in that we are sinners. We are imperfect beings, hurting and being hurt. We are sinners. Everyone needs grace, needs love. You're a sinner living in the wilderness of this world. And so you come to hear that you are forgiven of your sins. You're forgiven of the hurt you feel in your heart, that you've caused yourself, that others have caused you. You're here to hear the love and the mercy of the Lord, that you are forgiven of the sins that cause hurt and pain in other people's lives. You come to hear about Christmas, Jesus' incarnation, that it's physical, that it's real. It's not just conceptual or ideological. This isn't just some sort of brain thing or even just an emotion. This is real and tangible. Jesus was born and Mary held him. And he was physically put on a cross because God cares about your bodies as much as he cares about your spirit. His virgin birth is a huge part of our faith. Christmas is one of our biggest holy days because we are looking forward to a physical resurrection. As we're learning in our Bible study about heaven, we're not looking forward to just hanging out on clouds playing golden harps when like our spirit is formed. No, we're looking forward to a physical resurrection. Imperishable bodies, life everlasting. Won't that be great? You come here to hear this good news repeatedly because you've been baptized or you want to be baptized to have that certainty of salvation that's been won for you. Because to use the words of Philippians 4, our epistle reading, you rejoice in the Lord always. You come to let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. Did you know that? That's what you're doing right now. You're making your reasonableness known to everyone. Was that your car I saw out in front of St. Mark's Sunday? Uh-huh. Yeah, it was. Really? You go to church? You go to that church? Don't you know about that church? Why do you go there? You bet I go to that church. I go because Scripture says the Lord is at hand. And I don't want to be anxious about everything going on in this world. I go to make my requests known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, not just like I do every day of the week at home, but with a whole family of believers. And ultimately, I go because we live in a wilderness of sin. Have you noticed our culture is wild and vicious, unforgiving and unloving? And church, for me, is a refuge from that crazy, from that evil that wears me down. I go to church to hear the voice of God being cried out into this wilderness we live in. A voice that points me not to myself and not to what everybody else is doing, but to Jesus, the solution. A voice that says, it's okay. The victory has been won. No one can take away your birthday. You know I love that phrase. Can't take away your birthday, LJ. Just can't do it. Can't take it away. Can't take away your baptism. And that gives me the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. That's what we say. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. And when you do, my friends, when you do that, you can expect people to say, your friends and your family, the guy on the street, you can expect them to ask you, who are you? Because that is weird to the world. And you can say, I am a Christian, a reasonable person who believes the words of those who speak the word that God put in their mouth, that is verifiable by Scripture. They don't speak their own opinion. I'm not believing some fairy tale. I'm believing something that is historical and verifiable, that has been tested. I believe in a book that is the most hated book in the world. How about that for evangelism? What do you believe? Oh, the most hated thing in the world. Why? Because it's the most hated thing in the world. Really? Yeah. Because sinful man, my black heart, it wants to do its own thing. And I believe in this message that says that black heart can be redeemed. But everybody else doesn't like that. For millennia, people have been trying to debunk Scripture. Can't be done. It is a behemoth. It is our champion. Who are you? Well, to start to wrap up here, pull out your violet insert, your purple insert. Did you speak the words of the gradual, the words between the Old Testament and epistle reading? Did you speak these words with me with truth in your heart? These words are drawn from Psalm 145. And they are like the words of John. You become like John, with a voice crying out in the wilderness. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Who are you? You are a forgiven sinner who has heard the word of the Lord and even speaks it with the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. That's who you are. A Christian. Amen. Amen. Now may the Lord keep you on his straight way as you go back out into the wilderness. Your voice crying out clearly, just like John's, pointing your friends and your family, strangers even, to Christ on the cross, for you and for them. Amen.